Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Let's go over the next 3 or 4 minutes, sort of my NFL predictions. I'm not set in stone, although I'm close. I can make changes up to our Thursday show. Here's my AFC East belief. I think the Bills are the best coach team right now they've ever been, maybe dating back to the Marv Levy years. I think Buffalo's got the right coach, the best, second best young coach in Sean McDermott. I have them as a playoff team. AFC North, not a big shock. I have the Ravens going 16-0. I may peel back a couple of wins there. But I do think the Browns' offensive personnel is staggeringly talented. I have them as a playoff team. Don't trust Big Ben's health or the Bengals. I think in the AFC South, the Colts are the most functional team. I'm going to revisit Tennessee. They add Jadeveon Clowney. I have the Colts making the playoffs, nobody else. But as I go to the AFC West, I have the Chiefs, Broncos, and Chargers all making the playoffs. But the Chargers now, I made this prediction before Derwin James' injury. He's out probably for most of the year. He's their best defensive player. And now the Titans get Jadeveon Clowney. So I may just flip a switch, 7 playoff teams. So I have the Bills, Ravens, Colts, Chiefs in. Broncos, Browns, Chargers. I'm going to sleep on it. My gut feeling is I'm going to put the Titans in the playoffs and take the Chargers out. In the NFC, I think everybody potentially is a little bit better. Philadelphia can't go through the injuries they went through last year. I take the Eagles to win the division. Dallas, no preseason, new coaching staff, a lot of offensive talent. Don't see much on the back end of the defense. NFC North, love the Vikings roster. I think there's a ceiling, though. I've sold some of my Green Bay stock. I may peel back one win here. Maybe go back to 10-6, but let's not sell too much of it. I still think they have a top 5 or 6 offensive line. Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Jones. And Matt LaFleur just went in the draft and decided we're going to get more physical, blocking tight end, running back, and 3 interior offensive linemen. Maybe it's good for the Packers. NFC South, really deep division. Am I too high on Carolina? Maybe by a game. Everybody thinks I'm too high on Carolina. I have the Saints winning it, Bucks in the playoffs. NFC West, which I think is the best division in football, top to bottom. Maybe I'm too hard on Arizona. I don't know what to do with the Rams. I gave them a winning record because I respect McVay, and I think Goff's a good kid and throws a beautiful football. I like their offensive personnel. San Francisco, Seattle. So my playoff teams in the NFC, Eagles, Vikings, Saints, Niners, Packers, Bucks, Seahawks make wild card noise, and there you go. Yeah, I think I'm going to go back. Derwin James, I made a prediction that was with a healthy Derwin James. He's out, and the Titans add Clowney. Is he worth half a win, a win? Is he something? Maybe. Derwin James gone is definitely a loss. I mean, he's their best defensive player, including Joey Bosa. Yeah. All right, that's right. That's where I'm at. Thanks for the musical
Panthers too
accompaniment. I'm a little high on the Panthers.
You're very high on the
Panthers.
Yeah,
I got to slow down there. You know what? I like Teddy Bridgewater. I like Matt Rhule. Everybody's overlooking him, but Atlanta's probably got better players. So let me, hey, I got a beard. My life's all new now. I got a beard, and I want to sleep on stuff. I got no big opinions anymore. I got to sleep on stuff and have a soft milk toast opinion tomorrow. So the new me. Let's bring in Jim Jackson, 14 years in the NBA. He's back home from the bubble. But his driver's no good, he told me during the break, which is just no good. No good when the driver's no good.
No, no.
All right. Here, let's start
hey,
with
hey, you're looking good with that beard, though. I give it to you. You know, you're kind of looking like a grown man right now. You really are. You're really looking like a grown man that's enjoying Southern California right now.
That is exactly what I am.
Exactly.
So, you know, I watched the Lakers-Rockets last night, and I thought, these are good teams, but they're not good enough to reel off 3 straight wins. Like, this looks like to me a 6 or 7-game series, Jim. Your thoughts?
It does. But you got to keep in mind, Houston was one of the few teams, I think, that maybe the only team that had a winning record against the Lakers during the regular season. So, and the Rockets give you so many problems. Now, you keep in mind, I think you said this earlier in the show, think about, you know, the teams that can win. Everybody has flaws. Everybody has something that you can exploit, whether that's on an offensive end or defensive end. And Houston, you know, to their dismay, their biggest asset, which is their 3-point shooting, can also be their biggest deterrent when they're not making it, which allows teams to kind of either get back in the game or extend leads. And the Lakers, if they don't have that third, fourth, fifth guy that kind of steps up, if a LeBron James or a Anthony Davis is not playing well, then they tend to struggle. So I think that's what makes this playoffs and the championship run so intriguing. It's not just one team, I think, outside the Clippers from a talent perspective that you can point to and say they can just run the table.
I was saying earlier, Miami's been the shock of the playoffs to me. A bunch of young kids and Jimmy Butler. And I said, I don't remember a player that I've changed my opinion more than Jimmy Butler. A year ago, I was like, a little bit of a diva, doesn't get along with anybody. He's going to be a bounce around the league guy or something. And then all of a sudden now I'm like, Miami put their arms around him. Mm-hmm. He works his butt off on both ends. He appears to be coachable. And I'm like, I look at today and I'm like, Miami's a real basketball team. I mean, is their ceiling low? What do you make of Butler, his emergence in Miami, and what he's done there?
Well, first of all, with Jimmy Butler, you know, he got a bad rap, you know, leaving Chicago, going to Minnesota, kind of demanding a lot more of those young players that they couldn't really give because structurally the organization just wasn't put together that way. Okay. Then you go to Philadelphia where you have two budding superstars, but they're also young and they weren't held accountable in regards to not being able to take it to the next level. Their play was not held to accountable. Hence, they just weren't as focused as much. The beautiful thing about Miami is this, not played there. 1 through 15, you're held accountable to the highest standards from Pat Riley, who's the president now, who was my coach at the time, all the way down. And that's a big difference. So when you have a player like Jimmy Butler that comes in and said, listen, what I want is to play hard. I want guys that want to fight, guys that want to be professional, guys that want to put the work in, okay, and focused on winning. That's a perfect marriage that you see in Miami. That's why you can see a Jimmy Butler at times go have 10 points and is not worried about it because he understands the time, the effort, and the work, and the dedication put in by his teammates and coaching staff that they can win. So it's a perfect marriage for the two.
Are you surprised at all? Giannis's minutes are down. Just take the injury out. This is the Eastern Conference. This is where he's the best player. Are you kind of surprised it's been a little bit of a playoff dud in this series for Giannis?
I'm not surprised from this perspective because, one, the Heat, you know, beat this team 2-1 during the regular season. One game in the bubble, you know, that they played, and then the other two outside of it. But structurally, how Milwaukee is built and the way Giannis plays his game against a disciplined defensive team like the Miami Heat, there are things that you can take away. Yeah, he was going to be very effective, I think, in a game before he sprained his ankle and went out. But it's things that you can take away from Giannis and make him less effective. That's different than, say, a healthy Kevin Durant, because he can beat you at multiple positions on the court and you can't close down the gap in driving lanes. I will give Giannis this credit. Unlike Ben Simmons, a person has worked on his three-point shooting, outside shooting, the willingness to take it, I think, opens it up. But right now, this is just a tougher match. Colin, you've been around a long time. Remember when Dallas Mavericks were, I think, the number one seed or whatever it was, and then Golden State was 8, but the matchup was favored towards Golden State, and they beat the Dallas Mavericks that year, okay? This matchup is kind of favored towards Miami because they match up so well with Milwaukee, and that's what makes Milwaukee kind of scratching your head. Is this really a number one seeded team? Well, no, you can't discount what Miami brings to the table.
You know, it's funny about the Clippers. You played in the league 14 years. What's interesting about the Clippers is how great they can be on any given night and then just how apathetic they can be the next game. Go back to your career. Were you ever on a team like that? Does that signal something? Like, why most really talented teams, Jimmy, 4 out of 5 nights, you get the same damn effort. God, the Clippers are all over the map. What is that telling me about their locker room, about their leadership? What is it?
Well, I think more of it, Colin, is the fact that because of the resting of Kawhi and the injuries they've had, they never developed continuity. And I do think that this is a team where the stop of the season really hurt them. And the reason why I say this, their starting core never really got a chance to gel and play, develop any kind of continuity during the course of the year. If you look at the end of March, and let's say the season didn't start, the end of March into April, that would have been their time to develop that continuity and play more minutes together. But the season got cut short. So what happens is you come back to the bubble, restart, this Clipper team was still trying to figure out their continuity, how to play together. That's why we saw the fluctuation or continue to see the fluctuation in their effort, but also their continuity on offense. Defensively, sometimes they look out of line. So that's what it is to me. The Lakers have been together. Their starting five have played, okay? Denver's starting five have played outside some injuries late in the season. The teams, Miami starting five, have played together. So you see a difference with them, a different consistency. That doesn't mean they're going to win every game, but you don't see the fluctuations like you see with the Clippers. That's why I say the bubble or the stoppage of the season probably hurt the Clippers more than anybody else in gaining that kind of, I think, camaraderie and continuity on the court.
You know, it's interesting with LeBron, and as much as I like LeBron, he can be rough on young players. He ate up Mario Chalmers. He is really rough on Kuzma. Looks like he's lost his confidence totally. And then when you bring LeBron in, you know, he likes to play with veterans. He wants to win now. So it's hard, you know, to develop players, which is ideally you'd like to have a mix like the Clippers of good veterans and good young guys. And with LeBron, you got to surround him with guys that can win now. I watch that team, and I watch Kuzma, who's deteriorated, and I don't see young players coming up. And I looked at myself, and I think, okay, this is it for LA. Like, if they don't win this year, this team's just old. It's not a good draft. It's not a good free agency class. I really do feel like this is it for the Lakers. This is LeBron's last title shot. Is that too hyperbolic and dramatic?
Well, it's not seeing how the Western Conference is playing out, especially with Golden State coming back healthy next year. And also from a salary cap perspective and not having the draft picks, it's hard to maneuver chess pieces to get LeBron the kind of young talent that he's going to need. Now, keep in mind, this is an anomaly year. Okay, things are going to happen. The Lakers are prime position to win this. Is it going to be easy? No. But yes, the window is closing in regards to a couple of things. One, LeBron is 35 years old. Let's just, as spectacular as he looked the other night, as you play longer, Colin, things tend to dissipate a little bit, in particular your skill set, just because you're a little bit older. So that I think the urgency is to win it now, because you don't know what's going to happen next year in regards to health, injuries, people leaving, not being able to get to fill out the roster the way you want, dependent on free agent, the salary cap next year based off the bubble and what happened when season stopped. So you just don't know. And right now the Lakers are in a prime position, I think, to take advantage of it, but it's not going to be easy, because this is not a roster that's built around the ability for guys to make things happen. If LeBron and AD are not going, and the other three or four guys have struggled, we see a different kind of Lakers team. So it's going to be a fight uphill, but at the end of the day, when you have two of the five best players in the league, they got to figure out a way to get it done.
Good stuff. Jim Jackson is back from the bubble. For the record, your bubble experience, you didn't have to be there as long as a player, but when you came back, did you feel a little trapped, a little isolated, or was it a little better than you thought?
It was a lot better than what I thought, just because you didn't know hearing from the outside, especially from a player's perspective. Again, the players were isolated in a total different area than we, the media, were, okay, on our side with the Turner ESPN people. So, and I knew in the back of my mind I was only going to be there 15, 16 days. But at the same time, I tried to embrace this from this perspective, Colin. This is a part of history. I got a chance to be on a part of history that we haven't seen before. So embrace every moment. Try not to complain about stuff. Yeah, it can get monotonous a little bit, but I'm doing something that I love, which is, one, covering the game of basketball. Two, had a chance to play a lot of golf, bro. A lot of golf. And three, I had a great that allowed me to have beverage in my cigar, so I got a chance that night to enjoy everything. So I'm not complaining.
Well, we love having you back.
Had a ball.
We love having you back, JJ. Thanks, Jimmy.
All right.
All right. Good stuff. Yeah, I mean, listen, I give it to the players, man. It's Jim said, listen, I only had to go 15 days. For some of these guys, like LeBron, they're going in, they know that it's like 90 days. It's not easy. And I know they make a lot of money. I get it. But it is tough. I think for veteran players, it's really tough. You know, family, kids, you don't see them for months. You know, it's rough. I think for young guys, it's been a very much an offensive bubble early, because – you know, it was kind of a showcase offensively, and you didn't have the loud road crowds, the toxic crowds. So I think young guys really flourished in the bubble. And I tip the cap to the NBA. We at Fox don't have the NBA as a property, but I'll say this. I think they've aesthetically, they've done a great job. They've done, I don't even know if they've had a positive test in months. They've done a terrific job, and now they're allowing some people out of the bubble in, some family members. I wish they'd give coaches an opportunity to see their families as well. They haven't yet.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
And here's John with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
So the Bills have become the trendy pick to win the AFC East now that Tom Brady is gone, especially considering the momentum they've been building for the last couple of years with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. They have not won the division since 1995.
Wow.
Which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
Their GM, Brandon Bean, says they still have to dethrone the Patriots first, though.
We haven't won the division, and to me, that's the goal we have to do. We haven't been able to take down the Patriots yet. Nobody has since we've been here. So that's still the team we're chasing. We don't play them until middle of the season, but I'm sure the Jets and the Dolphins are thinking the same thing. That's our goal. And that's our focus is we got to, you know, try and compete and win the AFC East.
They are the slight favorites on FoxBet, but just barely ahead of the Patriots. You, however, though, when we just went through your predictions, you have the Patriots finishing, I believe, in last place.
I think
so. Clearly, you're on the Bills. You think this is their year.
Yes. New England had 8 players opt out.
Yep.
That's not most teams had none or one,
yeah,
or,
one
two.
Or two.
So, and they weren't a dynamic offense with Tom Brady. So I think they're restructuring and rebooting to have a top 10 draft pick and be one of 3 or 4 teams that gets a quarterback for the future.
When we had Peter King on, he picked actually the Dolphins to win the division.
Well, Josh Allen, Josh Allen is the Peter King and I feel the same way about Josh Allen. I love the organization in Buffalo right now. I love the GM coach. Josh Allen, I think they're masquerading some of his issues.
Absolutely. And speaking of the Dolphins, they named a starting quarterback finally this morning. No surprise, it's Ryan Fitzpatrick.
37. Yeah.
He's older, but remember, they have a new offensive coordinator this year. It's Chan Gailey.
Yeah.
That was his head coach in Buffalo. So he actually already knows the offensive system, even though in theory it's new. So not surprising he would beat out Tua. Tua's also coming off a major injury. I know you actually like this for Tua because you want him to wait. And Fitzpatrick has said he understands his job is to get Tua ready, so he's not looking over his shoulder. He knows that eventually Tua is going to take his job, and he's fine teaching him. How happy are you for Tua, who was your favorite quarterback, that he's not being asked to play?
Yeah, I think this is perfect. They're going to start him in November when they face Arizona, the Jets, and the Jets. They've got about a 4-game slate in November, and it's just very winnable, and that's fine.
It should be noted, the last time you predicted when a young quarterback would start was Lamar Jackson, and you actually nailed it.
Week 11.
The exact week.
Yeah.
So people should probably listen, but it makes sense. They would wait. Why start him? I believe their first 2 games are Bills,
Patriots,
who have very good defenses. Why would you throw a rookie into that and
Miami,
lose his confidence?
Miami's schedule for the first 6 games is rough. Like a lot of pass rushes, a lot of defenses.
Yeah.
And they have a rebuilding O line. Miami's not going to look very good in September. They could go 1-3, 0-4. This is a team that could lose 5 of its first 6, and then it lightens up. And then they, like last year, they could be a pretty good football team at the end of the year.
And finally, over the weekend, Texans and quarterback Deshaun Watson agreed to a 4-year, $156 million extension.
Yeah.
So with the 2 years left on his deal, that means Watson will be a Texan for 6 more years.
Yes.
It also means, this is smart of him, he can hit free agency again in his early 30s and get another payday. I was a little interested to see if Deshaun would maybe be hesitant to sign a big deal. Not that he wouldn't want the money.
He's had injuries, though.
I think that plays a factor because
yep.
You could also argue the team has kind of let him down, right? Bill O'Brien makes some really weird trades, and that's being nice about it. They traded away his number one weapon. They don't seem to value draft picks at all, which now they're going to need if they're going to pay the quarterback. The other thought that you have... Could the AFC be in any better hands? You have Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes, who are, I don't think any of them have turned 25 yet.
And they're also humble, good guys.
Exactly. Deshaun Watson's press conference was, I mean, he was considering where he came from, absolutely nothing. They surprised him. Dabo Swinney asked him a question in his press conference as college coach. I mean, you could not find a better guy to root for and be happy that he got paid.
We're so lucky right now. All these NFL quarterbacks, almost all, are hungry, humble, grateful, hardworking, coachable. It doesn't always work that way. There's a lot of great athletes that aren't always, you know, it's not perfect, but the NFL is in such remarkable hands going forward. So many talented, good kids. Veteran newsman John Goulet.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Joy Taylor's plane has landed at LAX. She's not going to sprint here on the set, but Joy will be back on tomorrow's show. Mechanical issues, as she was flying from Miami to Los Angeles. She called me yesterday all panicked, and I'm like, it's Labor Day. Enjoy Miami. Go to the beach. One more day. We'll miss you. We'll see you. So Joy will be back in tomorrow. Coming up next, we play a game of More Likely. Staff's trying to trick me today. What's more likely to happen this NFL season? We'll do that coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Start of the NFL season is just 3 days away, and I am here for it. It's going to be a somewhat abridged, unique college football season, which has got me more fired up for the NFL season. And Texans take on the Chiefs on Thursday. And so we thought we'd play a game called More Likely. What's more likely to happen? John, let's go.
So what is more likely to happen? For a team to go 16-0 or a team to go 0-16?
Jacksonville is pretty bad. But at some point, a home game, somebody overlooks you. I'm going to say 16-0. I think this year, the good teams, because of no OTAs and no preseason, the good teams that return stars, quarterbacks and coaches and O-lines are going to roll. I think you're going to have multiple teams with 11 or more wins. Baltimore, to me, was red hot for much of last season. They have the easiest strength of schedule. They end the year with 6 non-playoff teams from last year. They got a couple automatic wins over the Bengals in their own division. Yeah. So I think it's more likely a team goes 16-0.
Is it more likely the Cowboys win the division or miss the playoffs?
I actually think miss the playoffs, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I think they had some significant losses. Randall Cobb, Travis Frederick on the offensive line, Byron Jones. Their offensive line and their secondary could ill afford losses, and they lost arguably their best lineman.
Yeah.
I also think they were 1-6 against playoff teams last year, and they lost 4 of their last 6 games, so I don't think they have momentum and a new coaching staff. I like their receiving core, but I do think the offensive line is deteriorating. I think you've really noticed it in the last 2 years. It is not the best offensive line. There are times I've actually thought Philadelphia's offensive line plays better. So I think missing the playoffs is the better bet if one of the two was going to happen.
Is it more likely for the Patriots to make the playoffs or for the Bucs to miss the playoffs?
More likely. Say it again.
Is it more likely that the Patriots make the playoffs?
They're not making the playoffs.
Or that the Bucs miss the playoffs?
Probably the Bucs miss the playoffs. First of all, the division's really good. I mean, just think of the quarterbacks. You face Matt Ryan twice, Teddy Bridgewater twice, and Drew Brees twice. And Matt Rhule twice, Sean Payton. These are really high-functioning offensive coaches. And here's the thing with Tampa. Their defense was really good last year, but they gave up a ton of points, whereas New England's defense keeps you in a lot of games. Let's be honest. New England's defense eats up Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. And if Tua plays, they'll eat him up too. So New England could end up winning a lot of ugly games potentially because their defense is outstanding and it's just nothing but kids playing quarterback in that division.
More likely to make the playoffs, Justin Herbert or Tua?
Tua. Miami spent more money in free agency than any other franchise. Byron Jones, elite left corner, or elite corner.
Yep.
Kyle Van Noy, Matt Breida, the running back, the speedster. So they're a rebuilding franchise, but they have much more pop offensively. Shaq Lawson's there, and they also have a good receiver already in Devontae Parker, and they finished really well. They 0-7 to start the year, finished 5-4. And if you look at their schedule in November, it gets significantly easier down the stretch. So if they can just tread water for the first 6 weeks, they got a shot.
It's more likely for the Chiefs to repeat or for them to miss the playoffs.
Miss the playoffs. Listen, this division's good. I mean, Peter King thinks the Raiders are a playoff team. A lot of people like the Raiders this year, and I think they're fourth. You know, let's be honest about it. You win the Super Bowl, everybody gets paid. Some people don't quite put the work in. It's the last team to win back-to-back Super Bowls was Patriots 17 years ago, 2003-2004. Also, the schedule for Kansas City is pretty rough. Forget their in-division schedule. Three of the first four teams they play, playoff teams from last season. So, by the way, they could go 9-7 and miss the playoffs. This, I know it seems inconceivable, but all it would take is a injury on the offensive line. Mahomes in that division with a bunch of good pass rushes. You just, all it takes is your offensive line. Go look at the Rams a couple years ago when they were on fire. You lose a center, you lose a left guard, your quarterback gets popped, you can't run the football, and all of a sudden you look up in a good division and you're treading water.
So which is more likely to happen? Carson Wentz wins the Super Bowl or misses the playoffs?
Probably misses the playoffs. I like him. I don't love him. Brandon Brooks, one of the best guards in football's out. Even though the Eagles make the playoffs, it seems like Carson Wentz is never around long in the playoffs.
Nope.
They've kind of retooled their wide receiving core, which should be better. But it's a bunch of young kids. And also, they've had some injuries in camp. So whatever it is with their strength and conditioning program or bad luck, Philadelphia is hobbled. Seemingly the last two or three years are constantly hobbled.
All right, this is a really good one. More likely to be on a new team in 2021, Aaron Rodgers or Dak Prescott?
Dak. Yeah, if Jordan Love had a great camp, I'd say Rodgers. But listen, Andy Dalton and Dak, and I'll say this. This is the third quarterback to play under a franchise tag. The previous two, Kirk Cousins in Washington and Drew Brees with the Chargers. When was that, Drew Brees? They ended up with another team.
Yeah.
So, listen, quarterbacks do not like to be franchise tagged.
Rodgers is under contract after this year. Dak is technically not.
So, and the other thing is, Dak and the Cowboys, with a bunch of good quarterbacks, have a lousy secondary. I can see Dak having statistically a pretty good year, but they go 8-8, and McCarthy looks at it and thinks, I got to go up against Rodgers and Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson and Garoppolo and Matt Ryan, and my guy has a low ceiling. I could see him saying that in a year.
And finally, more likely to win the Super Bowl, the Chiefs or the Bucks?
I don't think either's going to win the Super Bowl. I would say the Chiefs return 18 of their 22 players.
Sure.
So whereas there's just so the Chiefs have all this continuity, which should help them. I think Kansas City, I know Kansas City fans are saying, wait, we can win the Super Bowl. I don't think Tampa's winning the Super Bowl, and I don't think Kansas City's winning.
It's more likely. You're not predicting.
Yeah, more likely is I just think first of all, Kansas City, even before Mahomes, is a solid, stable organization that had, you know, gotten to the playoffs. They had the number one scoring defense. Kansas City did the last 7 weeks of the year, so their defense played really well. God, look at that. Kansas City and Mahomes playing Thursday night. Thursday night. It's been such a crazy last 6 months. Difficult for a lot of people, families, teams, military personnel around the country, just everybody. It's been really difficult. You're away from your family. You haven't seen your kids for a while. Your kids don't go to school. So I just can't wait for the NFL, but it is interesting. It's kind of sneaking up on us. I was saying earlier today, I was sitting around over the last like 7-8 days one day, and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot the Lakers are playing because I'd been on the lake all day. And you know, I'm used to doing certain things. I'm used to the summer being, you know, not a lot of sports except baseball, chill out, stay up later, go to a lake, hang out with the kids. And I'm used to in August watching football until, you know, beginning of August to the end, getting me all ramped up to it. Now, Labor Day used to be this big college football weekend. It wasn't. August, there's no NFL football. It's mostly looking at camp news. So it's like, boom, Thursday, it's here. Thursday, the NFL season's here. So it'll be interesting to see how the country reacts. I think all the sports now are competing against each other. Will it hurt the ratings for all of them? I think the accumulation, all told. Also, we used to go to bars and watch games. You don't go there anymore. So that used to be a big deal where you gathered with friends. We haven't been able to do that for 5 and 6 months. So in many parts of the country. So it's such a different environment. But here we are. We become very much a football show going forward, and we can't wait for it.